This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. We're going to have to talk about treason here really quickly. We're going to talk about Meta, what this whistleblower said today. We'll even reference Joe Kent and his testimony from today. But let's address the Meta treasonous thing. Now, before I actually play this whistleblower's testimony from the Senate today, Josh Hawley talked to her and everything else. Facebook is what it is. I'm just going to call it Facebook. Meta's stupid. Stop rebranding. We don't know what to call things. Anyway, I'm going to talk about something briefly. No, I'm not going to go off on history again. But what's one of the main reasons countries get conquered historically? Not losing a war. That happens. What's one of the main reasons, the main differences? Like Cortez, Hernan Cortez, with a few men, he conquered a gigantic empire, the Aztecs. Now, it took a lot of bravery and skill and diplomacy and things like that, but why? Well, they were so much more technologically advanced than the Aztecs. The Aztecs were the baddest people on their block, but they would get in these fights with the Spaniards. They couldn't hurt them. Spaniards had armor on. The Spaniards had war dogs, these gigantic war dogs, used to, they're fearsome things, swords, cannons, muskets. The technological difference was so drastic that a few defeated the many. It's why Japan, back in the day, they had been very isolated. Hey, no more outside powers. And then us, we really did it. We kind of told Japan, hey, you're going to trade with us. See that warship? You're going to trade with us. And Japan kind of shook itself awake and said, hey, we can't keep carrying samurai swords and only samurai swords, or we're going to be conquered. We'd better shape up and get technologically proficient. Technology is everything when it comes to nations competing with other nations. It is everything. That's the point I'm trying to stress here. And artificial intelligence is not something I love. It's not something I've embraced or intend to embrace. I've told you I'm 43 going on 83. I've decided I'm done advancing technologically. What I have now is the last of what I want. But I also am aware enough to know that AI, artificial intelligence, it is going to play a gigantic role in the future of every nation, in economies, in militaries, in medicine, you name it. AI is going to be, and already is, but it's going to be huge. And if you don't want to get gobbled up by that country you compete against, you had better be cutting edge. And right now, we don't see it. Maybe you're in this field, but I don't see it. They are going at each other. This company's going at that company. This country's going at that country because it is a nonstop competition to who can do the best AI, because whoever conquers that sphere, whoever wins that competition will, I hate to use Pol Pot's words, will win the future. They will. Now, knowing that, and knowing that Facebook is the top social media platform, I want you to listen to what this former Facebook executive said today in the United States Senate.
Throughout those 7 years, I saw Meta executives repeatedly undermine U.S. national security and betray American values. They did these things in secret to win favor with Beijing and build an $18 billion business in China. We are engaged in a high-stakes AI right arms race against China. And during my time at Meta, company executives lied about what they were doing with the Chinese Communist Party to employees, shareholders, Congress, and the American public.
I want to make a point here before I play some more. To come out as a whistleblower against any powerful organization usually means either your career is over or, in the very least, your career will be capped. Do I have to point to the FBI whistleblowers? These are brave men who stepped forward under an evil communist regime. They exposed evil things about the FBI. As of this date, not a single one of them has been hired back. Some of them, Garrett O'Boyle's still suspended without pay, out there trying to feed his family. He's not, look, these guys are not alone. To be a whistleblower, you are wrecking your career. You are. It's part of what makes it such a brave act. This is a high-powered woman. You have any idea the millions and millions of dollars she would command on the market having been a high-up executive at Facebook? Those millions of dollars are disappearing now. So, knowing that, here's what else she said. Mark Zuckerberg is the head of Facebook.
Mark Zuckerberg pledged himself a free speech champion. Yet I witnessed Meta work hand in glove with the Chinese Communist Party to construct and test custom-built censorship tools that silenced and censored their critics. When Beijing demanded that Facebook delete the account of a prominent Chinese dissident living on American soil, they did it, and then lied to Congress when asked about the incident in a Senate hearing. The willingness to censor was not the only troubling thing I witnessed. I watched as executives decided to provide the Chinese Communist Party with access to Meta user data, including that of Americans.
You angry yet? Senator Josh Hawley had some questions today.
Was information related to artificial intelligence part of these briefings? I know you said that there were some sort of informal discussions, but did Facebook actually brief members of the CCP on artificial intelligence, to your knowledge?
Yes, Senator.
And again, was that a once-off, or was this a regular thing?
Senator, I think this is a great area of investigation for your committee.
Whistleblower claims Meta helped China develop advanced AI to outcompete American companies in bombshell testimony. That's from the New York Post. We have, in fact, I have some emails I'm going to get to in a moment, but one of them actually is asking about internally what we're dealing with here. We have such a nightmarish situation that you and I are going to have to tackle. And we have no choice but to tackle it. We can't give up. We have to fight. But our nightmarish situation is we are now surrounded by traitors. This is what happens when your country does not promote patriotism. In fact, when your country does exactly the opposite. When American school children walk into America's public schools, and most definitely when they walk onto America's universities, and when they are taught decade after decade after decade after decade that their country is garbage, their country's evil, their country's racist, their country's crap, their country's crap, their country's crap, their country's crap, the inevitable result of all that is going to be legions and legions of American citizens who either flat out hate their country or don't think that highly of it. And when that's you and China comes a calling with a big fat checkbook, you simply don't have enough patriots in place, wherever it may be, FBI, Facebook, it doesn't matter. You don't have enough patriots in place that will step up and say, you know what? No. No, because that would be against the interests of my country. If America is just an economic zone instead of a wonderful country that has provided us with opportunity and blessings, if it's not that, if it's just a vault to be looted, because after all, it's an evil, racist place. After all, we had slaves. And if that's what America is, then selling America out to China becomes almost a no-brainer, right? If I don't think that highly of this place, if it's no big deal to me, if my life is simply my bank account and my new boat and my new mansion and my new whatever, if that's what it is, well, China's money spends too. It's an easy decision to make. We are surrounded by traitors. This goes way beyond Facebook. We are surrounded by traitors, and they are in the highest levels of power of this country. The highest levels of power. When American school kids go to college and learn this, this guy's a professor at Princeton.
We chose a felon who is more interested in loyalty, who's more interested in retribution, who's more interested in grift than in democracy. And we chose a felon because we didn't want to elect a black woman.
So when Aiden, Jaden, and Braden go to Princeton and they're saturated with that for 4 years, they come out at the back end 4 years later, they come out as people willing to sell out the country to China. That's the bottom line. All right, let's do some emails and we'll get back to the news. Before we do those, let's look, we got a long fight ahead of us, you and me. Are you ready? You ready for it? You full of energy for it? I am. But then again, I take my male vitality stack from Chalk every day. Do you do that? You should. Chalk sells the highest quality natural herbal supplements I've ever seen in my life. Chalk, you want to talk about anti-communist? Chalk might put me to shame. You will feel so good. Every single email I get is somebody talking about how great they feel. Jesse, I'm so full of energy now. They have male vitality stacks and female vitality stacks. They have chocolate powder for the morning. Go experience a better life with Chalk. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular Thursday. Remember, you need to email your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in for tomorrow to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So before I get to some emails, and then we'll get to Joe Kent and the government and some uncomfortable questions, if you will, I have to say, it happened to me last night, and I just have to get this off of my chest, all right? Baseball game is on in the background. It was just on in a television. It was on the television at a place I was, right? So I wasn't really watching. I was half watching, you know, kind of just killing the time. And on this particular broadcast, they were showing the board, the big board at the baseball game when the players come up that has the players' information, you know, 6'5", 220, all this stuff. And they had their birth dates on there. And nothing really prepares you for, look, I'll put it to you this way. When you're a kid, when you're a young man, at least the way it used to be, we all played sports. Most of us, like me, played it very poorly, but we always played sports, basketball, baseball. I never played organized football, but we were always playing football and smear the and all that. We were always playing that stuff. It's just you played sports. It's what you did. Everyone did it. And you watch sports when you're a kid. Yeah, NFL and NBA. And when you're a kid, when you're young, teenager and a child, those are men you see on TV. They're grown-ups, for lack of a better way to put it. They're, wow, look at those grown men. Maybe one day I could play like that, which of course is never going to happen, but maybe one day I could play like that. You know, look at that grown man. The guy who got up to bat last night was born the year I graduated high school, 1999. It's not funny, Chris. 1999. Yep. You were born in 96. You know what, Chris? Up yours. Okay. Up yours too. It's just not something. Obviously, I can do math. I figured there were professional athletes that were born, I'm sure there are, that were born after I graduated. You know, I got it. Like, I understood it, but it was one thing to understand it. It was another thing to look at the screen and think, the year I barely graduated, that professional baseball player was born. He was an itty-bitty tiny baby. And that hurts, man. That hurts. Back to some emails, shall we? Hey, Jesse, I'm a longtime listener. Okay, this guy, I'm going to do something I haven't done before, and I'm going to read his name. You know I have rules for my emails. I never, ever, ever read your name unless you tell me I can. This guy, I believe, from what I'm reading here, probably wants it read because he's honoring his grandfather. So I'm going to read his name, all right? You know how I was doing the Italian campaign of World War I? I was doing that history the past three nights. This guy says, hello, Jesse. I'm a longtime listener, WRKO Boston. My name is Pierpaolo Marchese. I believe I said that right, but I'm not Italian. That's as close as I can get. Anyway, he said, I'm in Salem, North, New Hampshire. I immigrated from Italy 31 years ago. My grandfather, Antonio Marchese, that's why I wanted to read his name. I think he wants to honor his grandfather. He said, class of 1896. How about that for a connection? Antonio Marchese, class of 1896, was in the Italian army, infantry. He was a soldier involved in the front between Italy and the Austria-Hungarian Empire. Among the other battles he was involved in, he fought in the offensive near the River Piave. I'm sure I didn't say that right. Not sure about Caporetto. He did recount of the whistle used by officers to call for the attack, of climbing up from the trenches and coming within a meter from the eyes of the enemy soldiers in the no man's land zone. It was there he recounted praying to God for the first time with reverent faith. However, he remembered his prayer, especially during Depression, when his rifle jammed and his cleaning rod got stuck, and he asked for the soldier next to him for his cleaning rod. He doesn't know how he survived that moment. It was a miracle he never forgot. He survived that campaign and returned to Sicily to the town of Scaletta Zanclea. Look, I'm an idiot, so I'm sorry. I'm going to butcher these names. That's the name of the town. Many, many of his companions in his battle did not fare as well. God rest their ill-prepared and brave souls. May the sacrifice of those who are or have been involved in the wars and conflicts of man be remembered and honor be given to those whom honor is due. Thank you for your service and thank you for your work. And I thought, actually, in honor of all the soldiers who gave their lives in World War I from every country, I thought Taps was warranted. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular Thursday. Put a smile on your face. We are almost done with this week. Man, maybe I'm getting older. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the loss of my father. Taps gets to me more and more as I get older. I would think it would get easier. It's getting harder. to listen to it and just think back on those guys. Anyway, it's the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, before I get to some uncomfortable questions about our government and things we should probably talk about, I want to talk about some political maneuvering that not everybody has seen. So I know you've probably already picked up on this, but this is just something you should probably pass along to the norms and normas in your life. Donald Trump and the America First movement and what that, it's done a lot of things. There's a whole bunch of different aspects to it. I got all that. But one thing it is definitely doing is it is changing how the different demographics in this country vote. So there are people who would traditionally have voted Democrat that are now voting Republican because Donald Trump is very much not in the traditional vein of Republicanism. He is different. And sometimes you love that and sometimes you hate that and whatever, but he is different and he talks different. He speaks differently. Now, when it comes to things like tariffs and unions, we have to have a discussion politically about what is happening and what Democrats are deadly, deadly afraid of. Donald Trump is a union guy. He has been since his days in New York. When you do construction in New York City, if you've ever been, you'll see construction everywhere because it's the biggest, most important city. Well, it's not the biggest city in the world. It's like the most important city in the world. All kinds of money coming in. There's always construction, always high rises, always everything. Wherever you see construction being done anywhere in New York City, it is union. It's a union town. It's a union place. That's what Donald Trump grew up doing. Unions, dealing with unions, union, union. He's a union guy. He likes unions. He likes union guys. Now, I personally like union guys. The unions themselves, I sometimes like and sometimes I don't, but that's another story entirely. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's not about me. Donald Trump is a union guy. Traditionally, Democrats have been the party of the labor unions, and the Republican Party has been the enemy of the labor unions. Traditionally, that is how it has gone. That's how I've grown up. My 43 years, that's how it always was. Democrats, unions, Republicans, no unions. That's how it's been. Trump has, look, it's just a natural, it's going to be a natural marriage, I should say, where union guys are going to find Donald Trump appealing. One, he doesn't dog on unions all the time. Two, he is very much appealing to blue-collar types in a way that Democrats and traditional Republicans are not. Donald Trump doesn't treat them or talk to them as if they're icky and stupid and ridiculous, and he speaks to them like men. That's appealing. Very, very appealing. Now, he's gone so far pro-union that he's even done things that have ticked traditional Republicans off. Maybe even you, the head of the Teamsters Union, speaking at the convention, refusing to endorse Kamala. When the head of the Teamsters Union got there, I heard so many Republicans, what's this dirtball doing there? This is a Democrat union. And I got that. I'm not dogging on you for that. I got that. But what we have to see happening, something that is happening out there, and Democrats are scared to death of it, the tariff stuff, the pro-union stuff, whether you like it or not, it is taking a huge, reliable voting block that has gone Democrat, and Trump is stealing them. He is realigning them and pulling them into the Republican sphere. Now, that's Donald Trump. That doesn't mean they'll remain in the Republican sphere if the next Republican that takes over speaks differently or whatever. But you, for the time being, we're just talking about for now. For now, these huge, powerful unions are coming into the Republican sphere. And one of the reasons that's so important is this. Unions will oftentimes, not always, there's always individual dudes who make their decisions. Unions will vote as a block, and they will be encouraged to vote as a block. Hey, we're the longshoremen. We vote Democrat. Or we're the longshoremen. We're going to vote Republican. And they'll talk about that, and their leadership will encourage it, and they'll work on campaigns. And that has been in critical swing states like Pennsylvania and Michigan, which is going to bring us to this. That has been something Democrats have been able to rely on. They knew they were going to lose the Republicans in the suburbs. They always do. What Democrats were always rely on to get and keep power in states like Michigan were the urban areas, which traditionally are blue, you get that, and union blocks of votes. The union's going to come out and show up for me. I know the union, you can do almost anything, or traditionally, you've been able to do and say almost anything as a Democrat. The union will march for you, will work for you, will donate to you. Gretchen Whitmer, that evil witch governor of Michigan, who's going to try to be a senator from Michigan, she said something that raised a lot of eyebrows today. Didn't raise my eyebrows. I know exactly why she said what she said.
I understand the motivation behind the tariffs. And I can tell you, here's where President Trump and I do agree. We do need to make more stuff in America. More cars and chips. More steel and ships. We do need fair trade.
She's, what now? She's, what did she say in the beginning? Hold on, I need to play that again.
I understand the motivation behind the tariffs. And I can tell you, here's where President Trump and I do agree.
That may sound like nothing to you. Name me another national Democrat who talks about his agreements with Donald Trump. You're not allowed to do it. You have to, as a trained communist, you have to speak about Donald Trump as if he's Lucifer himself at all times. You get that. You remember the last State of the Union. Donald Trump held up a kid who survived brain cancer and gave him a Secret Service badge, and Democrats sat on their hands, couldn't even get up to clap for brain cancer kid. You must oppose everything Trump does loudly at all times if you're an elected Democrat. And yet Gretchen Whitmer, current governor of Michigan and wannabe senator of Michigan, just said she aligns with him on tariffs. Don't for a single solitary second think that Gretchen Whitmer is anything but a commie. But Gretchen Whitmer understands how to get elected in her state. And Gretchen Whitmer is looking at the poll numbers and what Gretchen Whitmer is discovering. Well, look right here, headline, coal miners cheer as Trump turns the lights out on Biden's green agenda. Gretchen Whitmer's unions in her state, not all of them, teachers' unions always going to be what it is, but the unions, auto workers and others who reside inside the state of Michigan, unions that have elected Gretchen Whitmer multiple times, those unions are now in Donald Trump's camp. They voted for Donald Trump. They helped deliver states like Michigan and Wisconsin to Donald Trump. And Gretchen Whitmer cannot, under any circumstances, oppose them outright or she loses her Senate race. That's what's happening politically. And you will see this. Chris, go ahead and write this one down. You will see this from more than one Democrat politician in Michigan and Pennsylvania. They'll have to speak and kind of, well, I guess Trump's kind of right about this. This is about political power, and it's about a critical coalition for Democrats leaving them, and they're scared to death of it. There's that. Let's do a couple more emails before we talk about Joe Kent. Before we do that, let's talk about rough greens. Let's talk about probiotics, shall we? Now, my wife is the health freak. I'm not, okay? And I remember when she started talking about gut health and probiotics and all of that other stuff. She loves that stuff. I didn't put a lot of thought into it until Fred started having a huge digestive problem after every single meal. Well, Rough Greens, the nutritional supplement you sprinkle on your dog's food, on top of the vitamins and minerals and everything else, it has probiotics in it and digestive enzymes. There's one thing we've done that has stopped Fred's digestive problems. Rough Greens. Put Rough Greens on his food, he's fine. If you don't, he's not. I'm a believer. You want to try a free jumpstart trial bag for your dog or your cat? They have Meow Greens too. 833-33-MY-DOG. Or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
I've got an animal inside of me.
Jesse Kelly.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a spectacular, an absolutely spectacular Thursday. Reminding you, you can email the show when you should your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow. Email those into Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Sir Jesse, could it be considered treasonable when past White House administration brought in millions of illegals into our country, gave them all Social Security numbers as if they were citizens? These jackals were traitors to the Constitution. Could they be brought up for charges of any kind? Your wise introspection will be appreciated. Okay. Well, should they be brought up on treason charges? Yes, they should. Alejandro Mayorkas should be indicted. Honestly, you can't really prosecute former presidents. Okay, I got that, but Mayorkas needs to go to prison for what he did. Intentionally facilitating an invasion of the country you're sworn to protect, that really should come with capital punishment. I'm not even kidding. If I am put in charge of the security in your home, and instead of guarding the front doors, if I go out and grab a bunch of thugs and gang members and bring them into your home where they hurt your wife, your daughter, your son, I think you would agree that I should be arrested and imprisoned and possibly face capital punishment charges, right? American Democrats did that to our country on purpose. Remember, they not only emptied out the prisons in Venezuela, American politicians flew people into this country from Venezuela. We flew them. You and I paid for their flights into the country. And then we paid for their flights around the country. That dude who assaulted and murdered Lake and Riley in Georgia, you know who paid for him to fly from New York to Georgia? You did. I did. That should come with capital punishment. But this comes back to a discussion we've had many times. Can it happen? Well, they marched through the institutions. Remember, the institutions are supposed to be separate, and the institutions of your country exist to protect the country, to keep the other institutions in check, and to protect the country. The communists long ago, it's about 100 years ago, they realized this and they started taking them over. So should we have a Justice Department, judges, jurisdictions that arrest people who intentionally facilitate the invasion of the country and charge them with treason? Of course we should. The Department of Justice is not that. The judges, you see the judges? How many times have you and I sat and screamed about this Judge Boasberg or this or that? But even if you get these people, remember, part of the reason the poor January 6 people were oppressed so severely by the Justice Department is the communists have completely conquered the D.C. court system. So they would grab these poor people up, overcharge them with the most ridiculous terrorism charges and things like that. And then, with all these ridiculous charges and with all this flimsy stuff, it didn't matter because they had all communist juries and communist judges and communist DAs and the DC court system, and these poor saps never stood a chance. Go ahead and ask one of them about the justice system of this country and how it's supposed to work. Yes, in a normal, sane country, if the Department of Homeland Security, if the man who is in charge of ICE, Border Patrol, Customs, if that guy takes his role as protector of the nation and instead opens up the borders of that country on purpose to drugs and rapists and murderers, by any measure, that guy is guilty of treason. He should be arrested. He should receive a fair trial, but a public trial. And if convicted, should spend the rest of his life in prison at a minimum, at a, that's the bare minimum. If not, capital punishment, and that should be public too. In fact, in a country that's interested in continuing, after Mayorkas was convicted of facilitating the invasion of the country he was sworn to protect, he should actually, after a fair trial, be executed by firing squad, and it should be the parents of every child who lost a child to an illegal he brought into the country. Those should be the people who get to pull the trigger on him. That would be actual justice. Now, is that going to happen? No. No. It's not. The level of corruption and infiltration is staggering. And I'm going to play something for you real quick, then we're going to talk about it. This is Florida's Attorney General. He's announcing charges for Ryan Routh. That's the second Trump assassin, the one who tried to kill him on the golf course. I want you to listen to the beginning of this.
After 206 days of stonewalling by the federal government that stemmed from days of the Biden administration, I'm able to now announce that my office is charging Mr. Routh for the attempted first-degree murder of President Trump. As
what did he just say? Let's play that beginning again.
After 206 days of stonewalling by the federal government that stemmed from days of the Biden administration.
The Biden administration did what now? Remember, there's no mystery to the case. Ryan Routh was caught, body armor, high-powered rifle, optic on it, had written down his intention to do what he was about to do, thought he was the good guy. He was going to assassinate Donald Trump. Florida gets their hands on the guy, and the Biden administration stops their investigation? Why would they do that? Just something to think about for a minute, because we're about to go to break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about it. Honestly, you don't have to think of the worst case. You don't have to think of the best case. Just be realistic. Why would the Biden administration stonewall Florida from prosecuting Donald Trump's assassin? Think about that for a minute. Hang on.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.